Good morning. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the North Dakota Public Service Commission. It's January 31st at about 10:02 a.m. We're gathered here for a regular scheduled meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission. Regarding opening comments, I want to point out a little change in I guess, my status on one case and maybe potentially others as we go. A year ago in January, I declared a conflict of interest with Dakota Access Pipeline Project, and at that point, the project had not been approved yet for siting by this commission, and it turned out that because of a deviation from the original corridor, they were going to be going on some of my mother-in-law's property with the new change, and it turned out that as they were negotiating that, that she had actually transferred some of that ownership to my wife, and so we had that, and so I declared a conflict of interest in the case and have not participated in it since. But as things progress and we have things like the complaint case that the two of you started some time ago, it's always seemed odd that I should have a conflict with everything involved with it when there's no more financial interests. It's more than 100 miles away, and so in discussing it with legal staff, because there is no direct or indirect financial interest in anything related to the pending complaint case, nor any interest that could be directly or substantially affected by a decision in this matter, I intend to participate in this case and if anything else would arise that is not at all involved with that property. The other thing, I don't know if anyone else realizes this, but it's Commissioner Kalk's last day here.
Hold your applause till the end.
And so, I applaud you for the great opportunity that you have in front of you, but my applause would be very limited because it's kind of a sad day for me. I hate to see you go. I've very much enjoyed working with you these last 4 years and a month, even the time leading up to it. I said very early on, and Commissioner Fedorchuk and I joined at the same time, that we were very blessed to have you here, both because of the personal skill set that you bring, but also I think it was beneficial that you had been here long enough to know the things that you needed to know, but not so long to remember how hard it is to pick things up. And so you, in my opinion, were an extraordinary mentor. And I hope that we are able to do as well for your successor as you did when we came on board. So I thank you. In the announcements, I'll mention it again at the end, but we have a little reception planned for you this afternoon at 3:30 up on the 18th floor. But I will also tell you now, you're going to be greatly missed, and I have very much enjoyed working with you these last 49 months.
Thanks, Roger.
Commissioner Fedorchuk.
All right. Well, I don't have any other opening comments. It's kind of Commissioner Kalk Day at the PSC, I think.
Maybe
it's
week.
Safe
we
to
could
say.
Make it a week.
Well, we did have the chili cook-off yesterday in time so that you could participate and enjoy that third annual tradition. And I think everybody felt the effects of it all afternoon. I know I did.
And into the evening, I would add.
We might be looking for a different theme for our cook-off next year. But you're always going to be invited to the chili cook-off and any other PSC events. And I will echo Commissioner Christman's comments. I have really enjoyed working with you. I'm super sentimental, so I can't get too into the weeds or it's going to be uncomfortable for everyone. But thoughtful. I'm going to do my very best not to. You're very thoughtful, you're decisive, and you're a lot of fun. So it's been a real honor working with you and getting to know you. That's it.
Well, thank you.
Commissioner Kalk.
Well, just Randy and Julie, it's been great to work with you guys. I mean, I think, Randy, you said it the best. The team got here. I've been here long enough to kind of know what was going on, but not so long. I remember what it was like being the new guy, and I thought it was a really good team we had. I can say that my 8 years here, the busiest 2 years that I was involved in was the first 2 years that you two were here. I think we got a lot of things that went in front of us, and a lot of good things happened. The only thing I would say, just this is directed to the PSC staff. All of you guys, I know that not all of you are sitting in here, but the staff is great. You come in as a new commissioner. The staff has all this expertise. You can sink or swim because of the staff. And they did a great job early helping me out, understand the process. You bring in a certain skill set, but they've always been there, helping out, no matter what it is. And I've pestered people in the evenings, at weekends. Just this morning, I was bothering Steve Call at probably 5:30 this morning, needed some stuff. And they're always there helping out, and so I'm going to miss you guys. The staff that we have at the PSC is the best staff in state government. There's no question about it. When you look at the number of people we have, for the amount of work that's come through this place forever, I guess, especially in the last 8 years, you couldn't find a better staff. So I'll say that to you again later at the going away, but the staff we have is great, and thank you all for all the work that you've done to help me out.
Mr. Chairman, if I could make one more comment. There will be more comments and razzing at the going away party at 3:30, program at 4.
That will be more fun.
Yeah.
A good major would have it no other way. Good Marine major. So let's get back to business. We have four items on the consent calendar. I move passage of those items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, motion is approved.
Okay, I only have one item in my portfolio. I move the commission portfolios be allocated as follows, effective February 1st, 2017. Commissioner Chrisman will have business operations, coal mining and reclamation, abandoned mine lands, grain licensing, auctioneers and clerks, telecommunications, energy conversion siting, weights and measures. Commissioner Fedorchak will have transmission pipeline siting, railroads, consumer affairs, electric transmission siting, pipeline safety and damage prevention, gas and electric economic regulation.
Second.
I would add one more, just to clarify in the parentheses on the motion, business operations consists of information technology, our budgeting, our human resources, and our legal.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I just want to again thank Randy and Julie. This is the way it kind of works out when you've got a commissioner leaving. You take their portfolio and kind of spread it out. The same thing when Commissioner Clark got appointed to the FERC. Commissioner Kramer and I broke it apart that time, so I appreciate all the work you guys are going to help out till my replacement is named. And for those questions, I think refer to the governor's office.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay. Commissioner Kalk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, item BK1. I move the commission adopt the order in Northern State Power Company's customer credit, DOE settlement 2014-2016, application case number PU1619.
Second.
Thank you, Julie. In November of last year, NSP filed a petition to refund $1,013,000 received by NSP pursuant to a settlement with the United States Department of Energy for a partial breach of its contract to take spent nuclear fuel during 2015. Basically, the total DOE breach of contract is it's about $12 million. And the long story here, I guess, or short story, is that customers have paid in money for many years as part to the Department of Energy, basically to get a long-term nuclear storage facility in place. And because that had not happened since back in when this started, there was basically lawsuits that took place that money needed to be refunded back to customers until they actually were able to solve that long-term storage issue. And so this settlement today, or this settlement, this order today basically takes the amount that DOE has sent back to NSP of $1,013,000, refunds it back to the customer within 90 days of this order. The average customer is going to see a bill credit of $4.25 within 90 days of today's order. And just a little perspective, since this started, there's been right about $50 that's gone back to the average customer because of the money they paid for the nuclear storage issue. So the long-term nuclear storage issue is not going away. It's interesting the changes that take place in the Senate. We'll see what happens in Nevada. I know there's many other things going on around the country, but actually my new position, I might be involved in some of that stuff too. So this certainly is in order, and I appreciate Sarah and staff's work on this, and actually appreciate Xcel Energy took one of the major leads in this in the lawsuit against the Department of Energy that resulted in a lot of this money heading back to the customers.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? I see none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
All right. Thank you, Darrell. Item BK2. I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement in Public Service Commission Master Construction Company, Inc., Damage Prevention Enforcement, case number PU16194 and PU16771.
Second.
Thank you, Julie. Master Construction is a North Dakota company with offices in Fargo, Bismarck, Dickinson, and Grand Forks. This is actually a two-part discussion, and so I'll walk it through, and maybe I'll come back and make sure I clarify. But in June of 2016, last year, the commission adopted a consent order in which Master Construction was assessed a civil penalty for failure to contact the North Dakota One's call system within 48 hours. So basically, they were operating in Dickinson. They didn't have a one-call ticket. They damaged facilities. The damage was over $16,000. In that case, the Master Construction paid for the damages, and this commission fined them $3,400 at that time for that case, of which $1,000 was suspended because the company was very forthcoming. But that $1,000 was suspended as long as they didn't have another fine in a five-year period. Okay, so fast forward just a little bit. In December of last year as well, the commission received a North Dakota one-call complaint from Xcel Energy alleging a violation by Master Construction for failure to excavate in a careful and prudent manner while doing work in Fargo. In the case in Fargo, basically a skid loader was pulling away dirt from the top of a gas line that was properly marked, and they damaged the line, causing over $8,000 in damages, and the incident resulted in 33 customers losing services. So as you go forward, our staff received the complaint, looked through it, deemed it was certainly they felt it was a violation. In this discussion back and forth with Master Construction, they really once again admitted that they certainly had done the damage. They didn't feel at first that by using a skid steer and moving topsoil that was digging. So once our staff really educated them that if you're digging, you're digging. Whether it's a skid steer or a shovel, they're digging. And I don't know how that all played out with if they really believed that or not, but they certainly were digging. And so what we have today is Master Construction has agreed to a consent order today for a $3,400 fine to be paid to the Public Service Commission immediately, as well as the $1,000 that was suspended in the previous case is assessed. So today's consent order that I'm recommending we approve, Master Construction will remit $4,400. I said immediately, but it's actually within 10 business days of this order. So $3,400 was the amount that the staff recommended in both cases. So the first case, $3,400, $1,000 was suspended. The second case, $3,400, none was suspended. And the $1,000 that was suspended in the first case is added to it. So in discussion with staff, I think Master Construction, they have the message now. It was, the first hit was in the crews working at Dickinson. The second one was in Fargo, and so it's probably different crews, but it doesn't matter. It's the same company. But one thing I wanted to point out, that the $16,000 in damages that occurred in the first case were damages to MDU facilities, and the company has paid the $16,000 in damages, and they intend to pay the $8,000 in damages in the second case. So the actual money they end up paying in damages far exceeds the amount of what our fine is, but I still think the fines are appropriate. But just to reiterate, the company is going to pay here by the time they're done, over $20,000 in damages or fines because of some of their poor decision processes. So everything appears to be in order, and I appreciate Victor and staff working this through.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I have just one question, Commissioner Culk, and that is, I'm thinking back to a past case where we talked about, or maybe we actually required the company to do some sort of training, and or at least we talked about. And can you refresh my memory about how we handled that? Since you're going to be leaving, I want to remember what we did there, and how it might apply to a case like this where it's a repeat offense.
In the previous discussion, if I remember correctly, we explored the idea of maybe suspending a portion of the fine and also requiring them to go to some kind of training. Mm-hmm. Where the plan kind of fell apart was is that how would we document that training? Who would follow through on it? So we never actually got to where we directed someone to go to training because there wasn't a certified training facility, if you will. But it doesn't mean, I think in that case what we did was we heavily encouraged them to do it. We encouraged them to join North Dakota One Call and Common Ground Alliance. And then what I circled back around with Ryan at One Call as well as Kevin Archer up at Common Ground Alliance and set up a meeting with those two and the company that they agreed to. It wasn't part of any order, but it was a way of forcing that. So I think that that's probably the path forward in some of that.
Okay, very good.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, motion is approved.
Thank you, Daryl. Item BK3, I move the commission deny the January 2015-2017 First Amended and Restated Settlement Agreement filed by Northern States Power Company and Commission Advocacy Staff in Northern State Power Company's Electric Rate Increase Application, case number PU07776. And I further move the Commission dismiss the application filed in Northern State Power Company's Advanced Prudence for La Crosse Madison 345 kV Transmission Application in case number PU16145. Northern State Power Company's Advanced Termination or Prudence Waiver Application, case number PU16678.
Second.
Whew. Pat, even though we cut down the motion, it still got a little wordy, didn't it? Okay. So let me just kind of walk through what this all means. The back in 2008-2009 timeframe, the commission had a rate case with Xcel Energy, and one of the things that came out of that rate case was a settlement agreement that turned into part of the order where basically if Xcel Energy was building more than 50 miles of transmission line or more than 50 megawatts of generation, they were required to come in front of the Public Service Commission for an advanced termination of prudence hearing. At that time, the commission was frustrated with, and probably still today, frustrated with Xcel's resource mix not going to where North Dakota thought it should be. The intent then was to, I think, have Xcel hear the commission's thoughts early on. You don't have to come in for ADP. It's something that's there for the companies, but that rate case directed them to come in. So that's been kind of the rules that everyone's been under for the last, I guess it'd be 8-9 years. And what Xcel filed to the commission was the first part that we basically denied it is they requested a process where we could waive that requirement. So if the company wanted to request a waiver on not coming in front for transmission, not coming for generation, they wanted to put that in place. So the company set up their agreement. It worked with the advocacy staff. They agreed, and they submitted a settlement agreement that they both agreed to the commission. And basically, in our work session yesterday, the three of us decided we didn't like that. And so it's actually the first time that I can recall that we rejected a settlement agreement that came from a company and staff. And I think the follow-on motion you'll see is why we did that. I think that the company wants a process where they can request waivers because they feel that they shouldn't have to come in front of us all the time for transmission because transmission goes through a MISO process, the Midwest Independent Systems Operator, and a generation. They're thinking they want a process in place. So this denies that request to set up a waiver procedure. And in the second part of the motion, they had one where they wanted the process to waive it. And the second thing, they already had two projects that they wanted us to waive. And the first one being basically the La Crosse Madison 345 kV line of transmission project, and the second one being 150 megawatts of wind. And so basically today denies their waiver process. And the second thing dismisses those two cases because there's not enough information because we didn't approve the waiver. In the next motion, I'll kind of talk about how the path forward is that the commission's going down.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Daryl. And finally, item BK4. I move the commission issue a notice of intent to amend order and notice opportunity for hearing in Northern State Power Company's electric rate increase, case number PU07776.
Second.
Thank you, Julie. So what this notice does today is it sends notice to anyone that wants a hearing on the fact that we're going to amend a settlement agreement must request to the commission by March 24th of 2017. So you tie this back to the previous motion. The previous motion, the company wanted a waiver process for coming in front for transmission and generation. In our work session yesterday, I believe what I heard was that three commissioners agreed that perhaps it isn't required anymore for the companies to come in front of the commission on transmission, but there still needs more discussion about coming in for resource generation projects. So basically set this notice out. The commission will then, if anyone wants a hearing, they can do so. Otherwise, the commission can then decide whether they want to amend the order and take out the requirement for the company to come in front of the commission for ADP for transmission and generation projects. So speaking for myself, I think that for sure the transmission projects, I think they could go out of the ADP. A lot has changed in the last 8-9 years with the development of regional transmission organizations. And as far as generation, I think that'll probably be the topic of discussion amongst my current colleagues and the man or woman that happens to be sitting here at that time.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I guess I could request a formal hearing as a member of Citizen and come in, but I don't know that I would do that.
We'd welcome you back anyway.
Yeah. You'd provide some formidable evidence on any of the cases.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Daryl. And the last thought I had, Mr. Chairman, your comments to everyone listening about the conflict of interest, I wanted to make sure that it wasn't because the mother-in-law. It was because his wife. And sometimes I've seen reporting where they say there was a conflict of interest because of the mother-in-law, or it's got to be immediate family. So just in case that didn't come clear, it started out as a mother-in-law. It wasn't a conflict, but when it came to his spouse, that was the conflict.
And I think I had mentioned that.
You did, but I wanted to hammer it.
The land, some of the ownership Absolutely. Had been transferred, and that was what keyed it.
And I'm very glad that we were able to get that worked out, because not having a third commissioner for anything, it's not very helpful at all. So having you back will really help out in the interim. And I'm sure you guys have talked, we'll talk to Governor Burgum, but you know, I don't speak for the governor, but I have a sense that they're working very hard down there and they're hopeful to make a decision relatively shortly. So define shortly, I'll let him do that.
Okay, Commissioner Fedorchak.
Thank you. I have two motions on my agenda today. I move the commission deem the applications complete and issue a notice of filing and notice of hearing in Targa Badlands LLC 8-inch crude pipeline project, McKenzie County, citing application case number PU-16-695.
Second.
So a public hearing has been set on the applications for case number PU-16-695 for March 27th, 2017 at 9 a.m. Central Time at Teddy Residential Suites in Watford City, North Dakota. This is for a pipeline project that was filed by Targa Badlands on November 15th. It is a 54.35-mile, 8-inch crude oil gathering pipeline and associated facilities that is they're seeking to convert to a transmission line in McKenzie County. And the line is already existing. It's in the ground. But they are seeking to use some storage tanks at a number of locations along the line in association with this previous gathering system, which then would convert it into a transmission system. So in order to use the gathering pipeline and the associated facilities, they have to get approval from the commission for conversion of the project to a transmission facility. So it is a fairly substantial system, but it's not new construction. We would be looking at a conversion. So there's a few distinctions that pop up. There's setbacks from residences and businesses that need to be complied with, or they need to get waivers, and a few other issues that we will be looking at, depth of cover and a number of those types of things. So this hearing is set for March 27th. And the commission will be attending that hearing and carrying it on ourselves, not with an administrative, substantive ALJ.
We have a motion, a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. Okay, so my second motion. Tissues around here, I keep sniffling. I'll try not to sniff into the mic. I move the commission adopt the order on motion to dismiss complaint in Dakota Access LLC, Dakota Access Pipeline Project. Oh, here we go. Citing application case number PU-14-842.
Second.
Thank you, Brian.
Now, is that you getting emotional because I'm leaving? It's okay.
Yes, that's right. Okay. So this, basically, to go through some of the history on this, on November 8th, the commission deemed the on November 7th, commission advocacy staff filed a formal complaint alleging that Dakota Access violated the commission's orders by failing to obtain from the commission clearance to proceed prior to beginning construction of a route adjustment. On November 8th, we deemed that that complaint stated a prima facie case and directed that the complaint be served on Dakota Access. On November 30th, Dakota Access filed a motion to dismiss the complaint with a supporting brief. And then on December 16th, advocacy staff replied to that. And on January 5th, Dakota Access replied again to that, requesting that this motion, a motion to dismiss the complaint. I won't go through all the factual background on the case. People are familiar with that and how we reviewed it and when the orders were granted, et cetera. The purpose of, but I will talk about this specific issue. The purpose of a motion to dismiss under the rules of civil procedure is to test the legal sufficiency of a complaint. The merits of the complaint are not weighed at this stage. So the North Dakota Rules of Civil Procedure provides that a pleading must contain, quote, a short and plain statement of the claim showing that the pleader is entitled to relief. And the Rules of Civil Procedure also requires dismissal of a claim if there has been a failure to set a claim upon which relief can be granted. The complaint, so allegations are made that Dakota Access failed to comply with the commission's order, and this alone satisfies the legal requirements for setting forth a claim under North Dakota law. And further, the commission determined that the complaint stated a prima facie case pursuant to North Dakota Administrative Code. So therefore, the complaint satisfies the requirements of the Rules of Civil Procedure as well as the North Dakota Administrative Code. And Dakota Access argues that the complaint does not contain allegations of a willful violation, but Dakota Access ignores the fact that the complaint at paragraph 2 quotes North Dakota Century Code 4922.21, which requires a willful violation. A complaint is required to put forth a short and plain statement detailing how the pleader is entitled to relief. It is clear that the complaint alleges a willful violation occurred. The complaint acknowledges the standard that must be reached to prove a violation and sets forth the allegations. Whether these allegations can be proven after hearing remains to be seen. To be absolutely clear, the commission is not deciding the issue of whether the allegation violation was willful or not. Rather, it is determining that the pleading sufficiently states a claim, allowing the matter to proceed to a hearing on the merits. So there's a number of other issues outlined in more detail on the willful discussion in our in this memo today. But basically what this motion declares is that the legal requirements for setting forth a claim have been satisfied, and the determination of the allegations will be made after hearing of evidence by both parties.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I do have a couple of questions. We just had a different case on a construction violation where they didn't call, and the penalty was $3,400 in that case, mm-hmm. plus the previous waived part. Ultimately, if this were determined to be a willful violation, do we know, or has it been discussed and I've forgotten, what the range of potential penalties might be in a case like this?
Yeah, Commissioner Christman, the staff recommended $15,000 fine,
okay.
$10,000 for one of the violations and $5,000 for the other.
Okay. And then my other question, all right, I think...
That could be altered. That's just what they're recommending.
That was the advocacy staff recommendation.
Correct.
Okay. So my other question, and I need a word, and I don't like the only word I can come up with, and that's technicality, because technicality makes it sound trivial to me, and clearly I'm not following through on the requirements of our order. And not reporting back to us. I don't mean this in a trivial way. When I say a technicality, I mean that in this instance, the assertion is that they didn't report something, and so it would be different than maybe had they damaged a cultural resource or destroyed it, and this was just they avoided it but didn't report. So in the case of a... if that's the right word, technicality. So we proceed now to hearing, and there's been a lot of back and forth, a lot of expense and time spent on both sides of this already. If advocacy staff were to determine that the point has gotten across, that these things need to be reported, and that pursuing this for the amount of potential penalty available just hardly seems worth the amount that goes into it, and that the message has been delivered and want to drop it, is that a commission decision then that they would make a recommendation, or can staff just drop a case if they choose that it's no longer worth pursuing, or how would that work if that was a decision they ultimately reached?
Commissioner Christman, I'm not sure. I can't answer that question.
I can walk you guys through what I believe it to be. I mean, I think what my viewpoint on this today is that it sets the stage for a hearing. And so if the company decides to, I think what you have is the advocacy staff and the company will then see that the commission has moved this forward the next step. And then basically if they can work out a consent order, then so be it. Then we would have to decide in that consent order. If they can't, and advocacy staff feels that they want to, they don't have a strong enough position, they should have already had that discussion before they ever did this. So I think they feel they have a case. So, but at the end of the day, this action, we do it, we have to undo it, is I think the answer to your question. For me personally, I think that I see this as much broader reaching than one case. I mean, the question that is laid out here is, you know, did they or did they not failed to comply with a commission order? I know Commissioner Fedorchuk spent an inordinate amount of time about trying to get that willful statute changed, and it didn't have success downstairs because some didn't want it. But I think what we have is when the commission has an order, if it's so easy to say we didn't willfully damage it, do something, our orders don't have much weight to them. So I think this needs to be walked through. So whether there's a consent order that comes, whether we come to hearing, and then our hearing, whatever would be decided then, may go to the Supreme Court. I think back to, we don't have a lot of 2-1 votes in this commission, but I remember that I was the one vote and you two were the two on the, basically the Territorial Integrity Act between MDU and Capitol, and I was the one, and I felt strongly that needed to go forward, not to clarify that part of law, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said that you two were right and I was wrong. But what it did, though, is it solidified that portion of what the law says or doesn't say. And I think it was very important because that becomes, I think, the playbook going forward. And so in this particular case, now Dakota Access has had so much hoopla around it. People are probably going to try to make more out of this than it is. But I think this is really a test of what the commission orders, what weight they really have. And so I think that this needs to go forward, and I'll be supporting it. And I probably will come – this will be one I will come back and probably say a few pieces of private citizen, because the commission orders, this is the first direct test that I see to it. And we put all these things in the order. If it's so easy for a company to just say, we didn't know, then we've got to change the way we do orders. So that's I guess, where I come down on this one.
Is there any further discussion?
Do we need a roll call vote?
No, I was just I just wanted to clarify what the process is. If staff determines ultimately that the message has been delivered and the case would no longer be worth pursuing, and I don't know that they're coming to that conclusion or not, but I just wanted to know what the process is.
Sure. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolios.
Okay. And that concludes the regular agenda. We will take a recess here for questions from the press. And after the recess, we'll reconvene again for the administrative part of the day. And I just would throw this out. If the press has any really difficult gotcha questions, they may be best directed to Commissioner Culpin. we are in recess.
Can you turn your mic on, Amy, just in case those listening?
Just to clarify, so your action is to set up the Dakota Access complaint to a hearing unless it's resolved in a consent agreement?
We denied their request to dismiss the complaint entirely, and now it will go. They'll reply to this, and then we can set up a hearing after that.
It doesn't mean at some point in time the commission doesn't dismiss the whole thing either, but it moves to that next step of a much more thorough vetting than just does a document that is filed at the commission.
And would you wait and hold that hearing when you have a third commissioner?
I guess it's probably premature to comment on that at this point. It a lot of that depends on timing. But I think ideally we'd have three. I think it would be all commission action is best when you have three. But we can't hold up things indefinitely either. So it just depends on how things evolve with the replacement process for Commissioner Culk.
When we had this before, Amy, we didn't stop anything. You keep scheduling, you keep doing things, because the process itself, by the time all this gets noticed and talked to all the people, there's got to be a separate motion coming to set a date. Probably the earliest it could be is 60 to 90 days, and I can't imagine not having a third person there by that time.
Right.
I have a question that's unrelated to anything you discussed.
Yes, the Bison are a good team.
Yes, I mean, I agree with that. But
as we got an email saying that the AARP intervened on the MDU rate increase, I was wondering if any one of you could maybe comment on that and kind of what the next process will be.
Well, since that's now going to be in my portfolio.
The motion said it's now your portfolio, electric generation.
It's effective tomorrow, but
we might
have opinions on that.
So the hearing dates have been set for that, and I'm forgetting right now offhand when
April 10th.
They are.
April 10th through the 12th, if the whole time is needed, but it will start April 10th.
So I welcome interveners. I think that's it's good for the process. It brings forth more issues, more analysis. It makes the company vet more of their requests and really gets to a better decision in the end. So I think it's good news that the AARP has officially intervened and will be having a seat at the table. They will provide their own evidence. They will be able to cross-examine the witnesses. And that's good for us, and I think it's good for consumers in the end.
I want to just add to that. Beyond the intervention by AARP, in the just over 4 years that I've been here, when we've had these rate cases, we had public input sessions, and we have already concluded those for this MDU case that you ask about. In that case, the two public input sessions we had public comment that was far beyond any of the other previous rate cases that I've been involved with. Some of that is probably because of AARP's action in advance of it, but regardless what caused the various people to come and speak out, I found it very useful getting that feedback from the folks. And so whether it's an intervention or just participation in that public input session, I think we're off to a good start of gathering information and becoming knowledgeable about not only MDU's rate needs, but also the impacts on the consumers.
I don't think it's uncommon to have interveners. So it's not like this is an outlier. You've got Otter Tail rate casers, interveners, previous MDU rate casers, interveners. So people that have the most at stake tend to want to intervene so they can cross-examine, but it's not uncommon at all.
Thanks. Anything else? Oh, I'm not here anymore.
Gosh.
Anything else? Okay, well, I think I forgot to mention we're going to take a short break, and then we'll reconvene at...
if that's okay with Julie.
10:55, we'll reconvene for the administrative portion of the meeting. Thank you.